Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you after not having been here last week. If you don't agree with me, I don't want to hear about it. Matthew chapter 4. I want to read the first 11 verses. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. If you were going to pick out a list of highlights of Jesus' life, what would you pick? You know, there's a whole lot of good ones. Would you pick one of his miracles? Would you pick one of his healings? Would you pick one of his sermons or teachings? Would you pick one of his parables? You know, I guess you could say that you already know one of the ones that I would pick, and that would have been right here. Jesus' temptation by the devil. Last week, it was week four last, because Ray was here last week, we looked at Jesus' baptism. And this is the next part of his life. And it's a very important part of Jesus' life. You know, each of the Gospels records a little bit different, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there 40 days tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. So this was right after Jesus was baptized, and he was led out into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil or by Satan. Now I want to ask a real quick question, and I don't know if some of y'all's memories run back this far. Do you remember the day that you were baptized? Do you remember how clean you felt? Do you remember how strong you felt? Do you remember how you thought, "I'm always going to be faithful, I will never ever commit another sin. I'm going to live exactly the way that God wants me to, that Jesus wants me to, and I'm never again going to get caught in something that I ought not get involved in." Being baptized doesn't mean that we'll never be tempted again. You know, it might be that just being baptized gets Satan so riled up that he wants to get you back quick because he's just lost you. Satan also comes forcefully after us after some great situation that's taken place in our life. Maybe we've been to a gospel meeting or vacation Bible school, or maybe we've led our first public prayer, or we've led a song for the very first time. And you think, well, it's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. And then all of a sudden you're tempted and you fall and you feel like you're such a disappointment to God and to others. Satan knows when to come after us. You know, just because we get tempted by Satan doesn't mean that we're bad people. A lot of people think, well, I was just baptized a short time ago, and here I've already committed this sin, and they're questioning, well, was I really baptized? But we can't think that. I want to spend a few moments this morning and look here at Jesus being tempted by Satan. First, the background of it. You know, we can't imagine that this is the only time Jesus is ever tempted. How old was Jesus at this point in time? Well, we do know that he was crucified at 33. We do know that his public ministry was 3 years long. Jesus would have been about 30 years old. Now I want you to go back, if you're old enough, 30 years. Have you been tempted in the last 30 years? Have you been tempted in the last 30 minutes? Yeah, that's probably a better question, isn't it? Yeah, we've all been tempted, and there's no doubt that Jesus was tempted. You know, after all, he was an infant, he was a child, he was a boy, he was a teenager, he was a young adult, he was an older young adult. He must have been tempted hundreds of times during the first 30 years of his life. But this was a very special occasion. This was when Satan decided to come upon him. He'd just been baptized and he'd been out there in the wilderness for fasting for 30 years. I mean, for 40 days. Notice the surroundings. It says here that he was out in the wilderness. Now, I don't know exactly what this wilderness was. You know, if it was really bad or not. But it is a stark contrast to Adam and Eve. We read about Satan tempting them. And that was in the beautiful Garden of Gethsemane. And now here we've got this second Adam, and he's tempted out there in the wilderness. Doesn't matter where you are or who you are, Satan's going to try and come after you. Furthermore, Jesus was all by himself. It wasn't two of them. It wasn't Adam and Eve. It was just Jesus. There are a lot of people that think, well, if I get out there by myself and there's not a whole lot of people around me, I can't get myself in trouble. Well, Jesus was out there. He was all by himself. Now, he didn't get himself in trouble, but Satan came along trying to get him in trouble. We've got to remember that Satan is out there. In 1 Peter chapter 5, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It says that Satan is out there right now trying to get a hold of somebody, but let me point out to you, he's not out there right now. A lot of those people out there right now, we think he's trying to get a hold of, he's already gotten. He's in here right now, amen, prowling up and down the aisles of this church building, trying to get a hold of one of us. Maybe trying to distract you from what I'm saying right now. Maybe trying to get you to think, you know, Clifford, he sung that song. I've been singing that song 40 years. I bet we've sung that song 500 times. I'm so tired of these songs. Satan is in here right now trying to get a hold to each one of us.
Amen.
Don't think for a minute he doesn't attend worship, and he knows his scripture. You know, in just a minute, I've already read it, but I'll mention it again. He knows scripture. Now, he doesn't quote all of a passage, but he knows just enough to get a hold of us. He comes in this church building and tries to get a hold of our hearts and take us away from Jesus and away from God and trying to manipulate us into doing what he wants us to do. There's no place that you can go to get away from him. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you think that these temptations are real? You know, there are a lot of people that think that they weren't. They think that it was just a figurative temptation, that Jesus wasn't really tempted, that there wasn't really a Satan who came to him to tempt him. Okay? You understand that point of view? I guess I understand it, but I don't agree with it, because Jesus is an example to us. And if Jesus wasn't really tempted by Satan, I don't know how that would make him an example to me. You know, his example to me is that he was tempted. Satan was there trying to get a hold of him. There are other people that think, well, you know, Jesus was tempted, but he had some sort of miraculous divine help to get past these temptations. Well, I got the same rebuttal to those people that I did to the first bunch, because I know I'm not going to have any miraculous divine help to get me past my temptations. So how would Jesus be an example to me if he had that kind of help and I don't have that kind of help? Yes, Jesus was tempted by Satan. It was an actual, literal temptation, and he had to stand up against Satan. Of course, he had his Father on his side, but his Father wasn't helping him like we can be helped today. They were real. Jesus had to fight just like we have to fight. What about the purpose of temptations? Why was Jesus tempted? Well, Hebrews 2:4 says that Jesus came to destroy Satan. And if he came to destroy Satan, then there had to be, didn't there, some sort of a fight between him and Satan? You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to set up a kingdom down here on earth. And we know that Satan is the king of the earth right now. There had to have been a fight between the two of them so that Jesus would be able to set up his kingdom. We also know that Jesus had to fight against Satan because he's our faithful and merciful high priest. And he's going to go and he's going to plead to his Father on our behalf because he never committed a sin. And to have him plead on our behalf also is a wonderful situation. So that's the reason he had to be tempted. What about the temptations? What were they all about? James put it this way. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. To be tempted means to be pulled away from the right way of doing things, to miss the mark, to turn from the right way. Somebody once said that sin is an illegitimate expression of a legitimate desire. Do you know that most sin comes when we try to fulfill a desire that we have in the wrong sort of way?
Amen.
Now, the desire to turn aside by itself is not temptation. Desire by itself is not temptation. If Jesus didn't feel somehow a desire to yield, then he wouldn't have been tempted in the first place. Desire isn't sinful. It's yielding that's sinful. If that desire is something that you brood on and you think about for a long time and eventually you fall into, then that's a sin. But just the desire itself isn't a sin. Nobody is so good that they aren't tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. Now that encourages me and it ought to encourage you. There's nobody so good, not even Jesus, that he couldn't be tempted. But it's not the temptation that's sinful, it's the yielding. Let's look at these three temptations that Satan hit Jesus with. You know, the first one happened after Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. Now, I want you to think about that just for a second. No, think about this. This past week, I got on my telephone and I looked at my calendar. Do you remember what you were doing on October the 16th? I don't remember what I was doing. October the 16th, it was a Tuesday, and that was 3 weeks to the day before the election. Now, it's been almost 4 weeks since the election. October the 16th, can you imagine going without food since October the 16th? Because that was 40 days ago. Jesus has not eaten going into today since October the 16th, 3 weeks before the election. Can you imagine being that hungry? You can look at me and tell that I've never been this hungry. I mean, never been that hungry. The day before my lithotripsy, 2 weeks ago, I went without food on all day Wednesday, and it was the afternoon of Tuesday. I went almost 2 days without food, and I was kind of miserable. But can you imagine how weak and how hungry he was when Satan came upon him and tempted him? You know, we've got to remember that. That this is something the Bible says that happens. Now there are people that say, Jesus couldn't have gone 40 days without food. But the Bible says that he went 40 days without food. We know that Moses went 40 days without food when he was up there getting the law from God. We know that Elijah went without food. Why do we question the simple statements of the Bible? Jesus was real hungry. He was real weak. And Satan come along and said, if you are the Son of God, prove it to me. Prove it to me, I want you to turn these stones into bread. Now, would there have been anything wrong with Jesus turning those stones into bread? There wouldn't have been anything wrong with Jesus snapping his fingers and there'd be a little Debbie oatmeal cream pie right there in his hand, right then. You know, think about it just for a second. You ever wanted to have three wishes? You know, you're walking along a beach and there's that bottle. And you pick it up and you rub it and the genie says three wishes. What's the first thing you'd ask for? I doubt that there are very many people who would not say, I want money. I want a whole bunch of money. Jesus never performed a miracle to satisfy himself. He never did a single miracle to help himself. Was there anything wrong with Jesus turning those stones into bread? No, there wasn't. But Jesus never did anything like that. And if he had turned those stones into bread, it would have, number one, said that he didn't trust his Father. His Father was going to take care of him later. We're going to see at the end of the story, the angels came and ministered to him. You know, it wasn't right for Jesus to turn those stones into bread, and so he didn't do it. Do we trust God's providence to take care of us? So what was a temptation? Well, it was an appetite. You know, it was the lust of the flesh. All three of these temptations Jesus went through right here were the same ones that Eve went through in the Garden of Eden. There's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. John wrote about them in 1 John chapter 16. Some people say, well, Jesus didn't wasn't tempted by the temptations that we have today. There was no internet. There was no pornography. There was no drugs. There was no cheating on taxes. But the Hebrew writer said that Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. That first temptation was about hunger. I like to think that I know what it means to be hungry, but I've never gone 40 days without food. Here we've got Jesus, and he was hungry, and Satan come out at him and said, turn these stones into food, and Jesus come back with three of the greatest words the Bible has ever given us. It is written. And we need to remember that there are things that we need to file away in our it is written file cabinet in our mind. So that if we get tempted, we can fling a scripture out there just like he did. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. 40 days. Like I said, I've been 2 days, maybe three at the most. But my body's not important. My soul, on the other hand, is important. Satan took aim again, and this time he carried him up to the very pinnacle, it says, of the temple. Now, I don't know a whole lot about what it looked like back then. The temple that was there then is gone. There's pieces of it left. But they say that at the top of the temple, you could look down and you could see down in the valley, and it was 500 or 600 feet. If that had been me, I'd have been flat on my belly because I'm scared of heights. And there, Satan gave him another challenge. He said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And then he quoted scripture. He said, it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Now, what was the temptation here? It was about ambition. It was an appeal to pride. It was another one of those things that Eve went through that James wrote about in 1 John 2:16. Satan was saying, you say that you're God's son, and you've got things to do here on earth. You're going to set up a kingdom. But he said, if you do it your Father's way, it's going to hurt. You're going to have to go to the cross. You know that. He said, do it this way. It's a whole lot better. Fling yourself off of this temple, and the angels are going to come out. 10,000. And they're going to grab you up and they're going to set you down right in front of the temple, and those people fall flat on their face in front of you and worship you. Let's do it my way. Don't do it God's way. Do it this way. The devil was making an appeal to the spectacular, and he still appeals to our pride today. Jesus came back with another, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. God has promised that he will take care of all of his children. Amen. But don't think that you can rush headlong into something and expect God to take care of you. He hasn't made that kind of promise. Next, he took Jesus up to the top of a high mountain. And it says, and I don't really understand this, okay? He showed him all the nations of the world and all their glory. How can you see that from the top of a mountain? You know, you go up on top of Mount Everest and all you can see around you, from what I understand, are other mountains. But the Bible says it's true, so I don't doubt it. You know, what was this here? This was an appeal to the lust of the eyes, or the acquisition of stuff. Now again, I don't know that Satan did have control of all the world, but Jesus doesn't say it's not yours to give. You know, so here we've got Jesus being tempted a third time. Satan's saying, come on, Let's both get on the same side and we'll do things my way instead of your father's way. And we'll be allied together and we'll go up against him. But what price would Jesus have to pay? And so he came back again. Away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. And then we read that Satan went away. Luke says that he went away to come back at a better time, and we need to remember that. Even if we come out on the better side of Satan when we're tempted, Satan's still going to come back.
Amen.
He's just waiting for a better time. And then we read that the angels were sent to minister to Jesus. Now, do you agree with me when I say that this was one of the great moments in Jesus' life?
Amen.
You know, you think about it for just a second. What if Jesus had fallen? What if Jesus had done what Satan wanted him to do? We wouldn't have a Redeemer. You know, what if he'd gone along with even one of these things? And if Satan had won, we wouldn't have a Savior. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that when we need help, he'll be there for us. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. But we need to remember, and this is a very important thing here. We've got to have an "it is written" for whenever we're tempted. We've got to remember what the Bible teaches, and it might be that you can't memorize the Bible. I can't memorize it very well. There's some things I've said over and over and over again, and I can almost quote, but sometimes it's a Bill paraphrase. But we need to know how to use our Bibles. We need to know where to go. We need to learn how to use our concordance at the back of it. So we'll have an "it is written" when Satan tempts us. We also need to remember that Jesus has promised that He'll always be with us even to the very end of the age. Or maybe you're like that little boy. There was a real bad storm one night. Is thundering and it was lightning, and he started crying, and his mother came in to check on him. "Mom, I'm scared. Won't you lay down with me?" And she said, "Son, I can't do that. You've got to learn to grow up. Don't worry, Jesus is always going to be with you." "I know, but I want somebody with skin on him." God has given us someone with skin. These people here are our family.
Amen.
We don't have to just depend on God. We have God's family here. And if you're scared, you're going to get drawn into a temptation and you're going to sin. Or if you do, it's not up to us to be judgmental. It's up to us to go over and throw our arms around you and love you and tell you that I'm just as big a sinner as you are. And I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And I'll help you through anything you get involved in.
Amen.
Jesus will be with you, but so will His people. So will the church here. There's not a single one of us that's not tempted. We have problems in our lives and we fall all the time. Like I said, maybe not in the 30 years of Jesus' life, but in the last 30 minutes for me, I don't know. And maybe for you too. But we can help each other get out of these problems. Jesus stands before us as an example. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that Jesus was baptized. It wasn't because He was a sinner, but it was because He was an example to us. We are sinners, and we need to be baptized so our sins will be washed away. But we do stumble, and we do fall, and when we do, we can get up, and our brothers and sisters will help us to dust ourselves off, and we can get back on the straight and narrow.
Amen.
And start living for God every day. If you need to come, won't you now, as we stand and sing.